Sorry.
You get through? Kesher Shem Tov, Samach Dalad, page 172. Kids, one sentence. We've spoken about this over the years many, many times. I've mentioned this. It's a very deep Torah, and it's a hemshech, really, of what we were talking about in the last Torah, the marshal of the prince who was not doing well in his studies, and the girl that he fell for was used as a means of lifting him to a place that he realized that was not for him to be busy with at that time in his life with the girl. But instead of the king rejecting her, as the boy's teacher, mentor, wanted to do, the king utilized this as an opportunity to help the prince become a prince. That's what the Malsa was about. We spent some time on that. So this is a hemshech, really. But you see, it's one sentence. You know, it's like with Tosfos. When you have a long Tosfos, they're usually much easier to understand, and the Tosfos works it through. But when you have a one-line Tosfos, that's when you really are in trouble to try to figure out. Similar to this, B'shem Rav Sadia Gaon. B'shem Rav Sadia Gaon. We have a Kabbalah that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was a Gilgul of Rav Sadia Gaon. Brought down here also, the tzaddikim spoke about the Baal Shem Tov being a gilgul from Reb Sadia Gaon. B'shem Reb Sadia Gaon sheroil ha'odom sheyilmod mecheshek dvarim gashmiim eich lach shayk avodas Hashem Yisbarach v'ahav osa. Reb Sadia himself said that a person should learn from the cheshek that he has for things of this world. The cheshek, the taiva that he has for things of this world, he should learn from that. Ma'ovai techakmeini. One learns from one's enemies, so to speak. You learn tactics and you learn many things by studying your enemy, the opposition. So when one looks at the taivas that he has in Gashmias, the cheshek that a person has for things of this world, again, instead of rejecting, throwing out, and saying that's disgusting, I don't have anything to do with that, and Hashem's Baruch wants me to be far, far from all of these things. So one has to learn from the opposition. It's true, you have to be careful with Dvarim Gashmiim, with things of this world. But the point is not rejection. The point, again, is how can I gain something from the opposition? What can I learn from my enemy? How can that challenge of Gashmias help me grow? And Rabbi Sadia is saying is that a person has a cheshik from the Ram Gashmias, so from that he's able to see Eich lach sheik avodas Hashem is brach v'avas. Eich lach sheik avodas Hashem avodas is brach. How to have a cheshik. If you have a cheshik to, if you have such a cheshik to eat, that you're sitting around all day planning, your menus and your food, and then to come to a restaurant, whatever it is, a person has such a gewaldig cheshek when it comes to that. So then, one should think of Eich lach shayk, avodas Hashem yisbarach v'avasa. Eich lach shayk avodas Hashem. So we see here again how The Baal Shem HaKadosh was not coming to teach something that wasn't already taught. This was already from Reb Sadia going. But the Baal Shem HaKadosh guided us to these Torahs that we have from the Kadmonim, and he developed them and brought them into our lives. So let's learn a little bit the Parish. How to come to love of Hashem and a cheshek of Hashem through the Dvarim Gashmiyim. Okay, let's just see the footnotes. One. Rei Hamuva b'Shmuel El b'Mayim Adibar Masal Hu Aaron Moshe L'Babach Rebbe. That's in Toras Menachem. Meisha Yesh L'Var Tam Haskaras Shem Reb Sadigon Al Pi Hamuva B'Shivchei Bal Shem Tev Shmarena Bal Shem Tev Hei Gilgul Shel Reb Sadigon. It's brought down Shivchei Bal Shem that he was a Gilgul of Reb Sadigon. And Reb Sadigon's Amunus V'Deis is Amunus V'Deis, which is really the earliest sefer that we have, where there was a methodical mahalach in Machshavas Yisrael, in Amuna, in Yonam of Amuna, where we see by Amunus V'Deis from Reb Sadia Gaon, that had a very, very big, made a very big reishim on the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmid of Baal Shem. It's one of the big hashpos on Chassidus is Amunus V'Deis. Two, the Ben Paris Yosef, the Toldos brings there, said the Vorm Behemshech L'Moshel Shebesim Nakoidim. As I just said, the Toldos in his Sefer Ben Paris Yosef, he brings this Torah from Reb Sadia Gaon as a Hemshech of what we learned the Moshel with the prince and the girl. He brings it as a Hemshech. U'mor Einayim Parshas V'Eschanan Kosa B'Shem Rabbeinu. So the Mor Einayim that Chernobyl brings in V'Eschanan in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, B'chol HaTanugim. Again, we've spoken about this a great deal. B'chol HaTanugim Hu HaAhava HaElyona. And every tanug that a person has, when you strip it of all of its external levushim, tanug itself, pleasure itself, comes from ahava halyana, from a very high place, from the great capacity to love, and even higher. Tanug comes from kesa, from the crown. We spoke about that. Rotsen, tanug, comes from a very high place. V'chol ha-tanugim hu ahava halyana sh'aidei ha-tzeir v'zois ha-tanug b'tiva yakalai lehav z'aboy baruchu. That from this hisoirus of tanug that a person has it by his nature, he has a tanug nature. He naturally loves a hamburger and fries, whatever it is. He has a tanug like that from a, that's a teva, that's a cheshik that a person has. So the Baal Shem Tov taught that from that hisoirus of that pleasure, yakalei lehav habar baruchu, it'll be easier for him to love Hashem, as opposed to a person who doesn't have in life, he doesn't find tanugim in his life, he doesn't have pleasure in his life, he doesn't have a cheshik in his life. We've spoken about this many times. The Reb Tzadik brings in Tzidkas HaTzadik how the Ovis are called Eisonim, Eisonei Olam, the powerful ones. And Reb Tzadik explains that they had tremendous cheshik, like it says by Shlomo Melech, kol cheshik Shlomo. We shouldn't think that these were like deadpan, dry people. The others were passionate people, mamish on fire. They're the powerful ones. Powerful doesn't mean that they were working out. The powerful ones of the world had the biggest taivas, Reb Tzadik says. They were the biggest. You see, David HaMelech, the biggest bali taiva. The tremendous people of tremendous cheshek, of great passion and longing. Kibalav hachi koshlev taras os hamida lahaschil levoi sayis baruch shemo. Belav hachi means if a person doesn't have this capacity to love and to enjoy and to have pleasure, it's going to be very hard for him to have pleasure serving Hashem, to be a person that loves Hashem. If he doesn't have this, the dry, lifeless person has a very hard time finding an opening to that world of Ahava, not for his wife, not for his kids, not for not for food, not for sports, not for the Baruch Shalom. So there's something which is very hard for him to love, very hard for this person to feel a tonic, to feel pleasure in life. There's, for whatever reason, there are people that for whom it's very, very difficult to open up in such a way. There were some here that we were together in Rav Cook's house, you remember, Erev Shabbos a few years ago. So we were talking then about teaching from Rav Cook on the Indian of Shir Hashirim. And Shir Hashirim is a strange thing, and there was a big fight whether it should go into Tanakh and how Rabbi Akiva said it's Kodesh Kedoshim. And we have Shir Hashirim and Tanakh. Shir Hashirim is a love story. And it's a marshal for the love between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. And Rav Cook wrote a magnificent Torah on this. And it's the Hagdomati of Shir Hashirim, which he said while he was sitting on the beach by the ocean in Yafo, and one of his Talmidim was there with him and found a piece of paper and started scribbling down this Torah. Rav Cook spoke about the cheshek of the Chasen and Kala and Shir Hashirim as being a means of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the whole Shir Hashirim is about that. Well, why do you have such a strange thing in Tanakh? Such a love story. There's no mention of Hashem. Hashem's name is not found also in Shir Hashirim. It's a very strange thing. It's a Pesach. It's the most common, obvious, sought after opening to love is that romance between a Chas and a Kala. And the whole Shir Hashirim is that muscle that Reb Sadie Gaon is talking about, that the Baal Shem Tov was talking about. That a person who has experienced that love, has tasted of that tonic, of that pleasure, of that ahava of a Chas and a Kala, is the same person who can experience the ahava of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if someone is oblivious to that, or has never had that in his life, it says Kosh Leftayach Zamidal Hasl. It's that Shir Hashirim is a Pesach. It's an opening to Ahavas HaBari. It's something that's very much of this world, but it has the ability to take a person to a higher place. Just that's why Rabbi Kiv said it's Kodesh Kedoshim, because Kodesh Kedoshim is a place that's of this world, but has the ability to take someone to a much higher place. That's why Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kedoshim, is the holy of holies, the holiest, because it has that tremendous ability to that inyan of the love between a man and a woman, to open a person up, to have that tonic, to be somebody that can then be transported to a higher level of ahava. Which, of course, how to transfer that love is what all of Chassidus is about. It's what all of Torah is about. How to apply that love, how to use that love for something that's greater. And if you have a child that's very, very active, and a child that's mis'anig b'tanugim, he carries on a lot, and he's very mischievous, or so on, that's not a bad sign. That might be difficult to raise, but it's a sign of a child whose heart is alive, is filled with passion. And as a child, he doesn't have the kelim to know what to do with that passion, so, you know, just carries on. But as he matures, and hopefully he will learn how to use this energy for things that are holy, so he has a tremendous advantage over the perfect, you know, well-behaved little yakya of a kid. So this kid has a certain advantage. If it goes the wrong way, it's a lot of aggravation. But it's not chas v'shalom that the inyan of a parent is to crush the passions of a child, or the joy, or the fact that a child wants to have fun. And it's a sign of a very, very healthy and holy child. It's just since parents have we prefer to take naps and to have to be able to sleep and so on. So they don't let these kids enjoy themselves, or they want the kid to be, you know, to stay in school, not to get thrown out and stuff like that. Some of the most choshev Jews that we have in Klai Yisrael were thrown out of yeshivas. You know, to tell you that we have some guys from in the shul, the best guys in the shul, that Don't feel bad if you were never thrown out of yeshiva. But some of the best guys in the shul, in any community, were the guys that were thrown out of yeshiva. There are people like that that are bombish building the malchus of Yiddishkeit, of Torah and Mitzvahs, that were thrown out, that didn't fit in, that not because they were chashon beris, they were too hard for the teachers to handle and the rebbeim to handle. And in the early years, that was before they would tie them down on a table and call in Dr. Frankenstein to give them a shot. And they weren't medicated in those years, so when I was growing up, nobody had any medication at all. So it was Leibedik, you know.
It was just beat up.
For sure, there was the beatings that just got more excited. The beatings that didn't calm anybody down, just got more excited. But the pre-medication days, so it was just it was wild. It's hard to control. It's much easier to take care of a Kahalas type of a guy. It's much easier. But you get a Shir Shirim, you get a boy that's a girl that's a Shir Shirim person, so they're hard to take care of. They don't let the parents sleep. The parents are up at night worrying about them when they become teenagers, what's going to be with this? Well, I have the mazel to have a Shir Shirim kid. How come I didn't get a Kahalas or Mishla? Well, three books I had to get Shir Shirim. You know? But the truth is, it's a Gevaldig Zchus to have a kid like that, but it's hard to take care of. So it's, you rather get somebody that's, you know, get a kid. The children are soon they're going to be born together with the medication. Like they'll come out from the mother, like with bottles of medication. You know, the whole kid. Like how to medicate this kid, that he should bring him down from Shir Shirim to Kahalas or Mishle or something, to make him into a little quiet, well behaved, proper young man. But for that, for the Kahalas person, for whom everything in life is Havel Havolim, as opposed to Shir Shirim, for whom everything in life is let's party, let's go. It's harder to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. It's harder to love Hashem. So that's what he's saying. Achi kosh leftoach amidol haschel evol siz baruch shemo. That for a person for someone that's in the parish of Tanugim, so that person is in the parish of Tanugim, he can find his way with a lot of learning and a lot of help and a lot of maturing. He can find his way into Ahavas Hashem. It's much easier for him to find his way there. Yes, then.
With the right chinuch, you could channel a child's passion in the right direction along the lines of Al Pi Darko. You teach him when he's young, so he'll...
What do you mean doable? Not sure that's the whole tachlis of that's what parents. It's not doable. It's what parents are responsible and a rebbe's responsible to do. Not that it's doable. We have to do. That's what we have to do. We have to try to understand what this child's passion is and to try to help him with that. Not to stop the passion, but how to
channel.
Into Kedusha. That's our avoid is. That's what a parent, that's what a teacher has to do. But it's hard. It's very hard to do that. When the kid's passion is not the same passion as the parents, so then we have a big problem. So the parent's passion is to sleep and to have Shabbos naps, right? Like extended Shabbos naps. And the kid's passion is to be awake.
Not all parents are that way, right?
I'm not talking about everybody's like that. I'm just saying that when you have that conflict, so it's very, very hard. Of course, not all parents like that. The parents who understand their children and move with their children and are not resentful or frustrated or angry and just realize that I have the next 20 years. I'm not gonna rest much, and even longer than that. Even longer than that. I remember I had that conversation with Marif when Meir was born. Shidavka was a very, very good little baby. Suri was much harder as a baby. But I said to, it was those early weeks, the first child. And And you know, we didn't have any nurse or anything like that. There's no nurses and no extra help, nothing like that. I was just trying to figure it out, you know. So I remember we had this conversation. I said that we mekabel upon ourselves, Be'ez Hashem, for all the years, with God's help, more children, not to sleep and not to rest and not to have it easy. And if we make a mekabel that, and we accept it now, we don't always look at the kid as being an interruption to our lives, it'll be much easier for us to do the right thing and to make the right decisions instead of always expecting that it should be the way that we want. And then the kid doesn't fit into how we want. I had somebody told me, there was somebody here that was saying how to have a child, and the child doesn't, because of this kid, they can't go on a vacation because they don't have any grandparents that live in New York, and they want to go on a vacation. The kid doesn't, you know, they can't go on a vacation. So the child is a healthy child, but there's some complications. You can't leave this kid with a babysitter for 3 days, for 4 days. There are no grandparents around. What are you going to do? When you have grandparents, so it's easier. But when you don't have, so then what are you going to do? So the kid is, of course, seen as somebody that's staring my vacation, which is understandable. I'm not blaming these parents. People like to have a break. That's understandable. But the kid is like staring the vacation. You have a conflict, and there's a lot of frustration. Say that these are things that we all know about, but this is what the Baal Shem Tov is saying. So the Moray Nine brings down. Vayideh tanugim shenisaru beizoyis ahava yokel of avein. Ubevaday kol ma shemisava hodem leize tanug. The Moray Nine says certainly, whenever a person has a taiva for a certain tanug, for some pleasure, when this arabitivai midas ahava leize tanug, and he naturally is aroused and awakened through this desire that he has. We're talking about this last week. He shouldn't think this is something which is bad or disgusting. It's the mid of ahava. It's the mid of chesed, of ahava, of love. It's just in a fallen state. You know, so the love is for something that's a devagashmi. So therefore, yeda neman shezohu siyu ha'elyon ha'bari baruchu. He should know that when he has this, the fact that he has this physical desire, that means that Hashem's Baruch is helping him. Hashem is not telling him to have a desire for that food or for that taiva, whatever the taiva is. Hashem's not telling him to. Hashem didn't give him a taiva for food, or davka, or a taiva for the girl davka. The Baruch Hashem gave him this koach of cheshek, of passion, of ahava. And that if he is a chacham and a bala vayda, he can use that koach that he has to become somebody that is naiv Hashem, avos Yisrael, avos Hashem, and so on, to love good things. And that's the story with the Rebbe Zushi. You remember on the whole mice, he started dancing on the table, jumping like a Michigan on the table, and he turned over everything onto the Rebbe Baruch, the Rebbe Baruch Meshbitz. When there was somebody there that said, you know the story I'm talking about. Okay, they were at the same table. You know, the Rebbe Baruch Meshbitz didn't want to be in the same place with the Rebbe Zushi because you know the Rebbe Zushi is like, there's only one room in the place, And the Rebbe Zushi was wild, mamish wild. And the Rebbe Meshbitzer was very strong, as you know. And the Rebbe Zushi said, oh, don't worry, Zushi will be okay. Zushi will be quiet and be all right. And he controlled himself through Marav. He wasn't screaming and jumping. So the Rebbe Baruch Meshbitzer was pleased with that. The things were under control. But then when it came to supper time. So they were sitting there in and eating with this balachsanya, the balabas, and one of the members of the family of the household said that he passed the pepper, and he said, "Oh, I love pepper," and then the Rebbe Zushi said, "You love pepper? You love pepper?" And Rebbe Baruch Meshbitzer says, "Oh, this." We're finished. And the Rebbe of Zusha jumped on the table and started dancing, saying, he loves pepper and I love the Rebbe Shalom. Ah! And the whole thing fell on the Rebbe Baruch Mezh, with all the food, go to Rebbe, and the Rebbe Zusha, and the Balabos was horrified. And Baruch Mezh was said, leave him, be. And he's dancing, he loves pepper. He loves pepper. And the Rebbe Baruch Mezh asked that they should put with the tachrichim, they should bury him in that Bekesha. He said this is from the love of Israel. And he wanted to be buried in that with the stains all over from the food that the Rebbe of Zusha was dancing. So he loves pepper and I love the Rebbe Shalom. The Rebbe of Zusha was on a deep level was saying to him that if you go the right way, you and I can do this Riku together. It's not we could have this Riku together, because at least you love pepper. You have something, you know. So we could do the Riku together instead of me doing it by myself. Yedehu Yisbarach Shmai Shibilade Zeh Lo Yisar Bayzai Samida. Because Hashem Yisbarach takes a Jew, and the Jew is like bored and lifeless and not motivated. And he's more in this person, the Mida Vahava. But right now he doesn't know what it means to love Hashem, so he loves pepper, whatever that pepper of his life is right now. Before he has das, the person is nimshuch, is drawn after that particular tanug, that pleasure of this world. And he takes that mida of ahava of tanug and he throws it, you know, into a very dark place. So he loves, you know, he loves disgusting things. He puts it into a very dark place. But the mida of ahava is a good mida. It's a beautiful, it's a holy mida. Tver Shlomo Pasha told us, there are hundreds and hundreds, thousands of places in the Sram that the Tzaddikim talk about this Yisod. He brings a few of them. Tver Shlomo Pasha told us, Me'ez Kolisha She Yidvenu Libo Tichu Es Trumasi. That pretty much says everything, that pasuk. Me'ez Kolisha She Yidvenu Libo. We see by the Mishkan that the Torah comes back to this over and over. Me'ez kol ish asher yidvenu libo. From any person whose heart, yidvenu libo, is motivating him, whose heart is driving him, whose heart is pushing him. Tikhu es trumasi. From such a person, take the truma, the offering. Truma itself is, of course, the lashon of Yisraimus. So the first time it says, B'shem Baal Shem Tov Haynu Shekol Adam Tzarech Loshes Eitzes B'Nav Shel Hapach Lasses Midas Tavis Mikol Hashe Yidvenu Libo. Mikol Hashe Yidvenu Libo. A Jew has to look at himself and to see. Kol Hashe Yidvenu Libo. What is my heart? Where is my heart? What is Kol Hashe Yidvenu Libo? Wherever I feel my heart is there. Kol Hashe Yidvenu Libo. There are things that a person does just because he knows he has to do them intellectually. But then there are things that a person does because it's Hashem Yidvenu Libo. We have to try to find the Nedivus HaLev within ourselves. That's what the Fresh Lime is saying. What's the Nekuda of Nedivus HaLev? Nedivus HaLev. Me'at Taivis, Achitzonius, Amidus Rose. Whatever those things are, the Taivis, the Amidus Rose. But with this Nedivus HaLev, Hashem Yidvenu Libo. And mehem yikach derech lavedis habar baruchum. That's what it says in Pasuk. Tikhu es trumasi. Kol hashe yidvenu libo. Find in your life, see, look in your life and see. Kol hashe yidvenu libo. And from that, tikhu es trumasi. You could take a way of lifting my presence up in this world. Tikhu es trumasi. To give, to serve me, and so on. Boisa cheshik, boisa taiva, obiyesa says. From Torah's teachings from the Mizrach Magid, Klal ze yebiyodcha. Machm shnis galu aksavim shal kadosh moirin rab doiv bear from mimezrus lekam anoshim. Umatem heim shuchel hidamos hilov lasus kamaseyu. I feel in goy bekam seyu. However, we do find that the tzaddikim warned about this avoda begashmias. That it's very, you have to be a Baal Madrega to do this, and therefore you have to be very careful. They warned a lot about how to be careful not to intentionally be ma'or one's taivas for things of this world as a means of getting to something higher. You have to be very, very careful. You really have to be a Baal Madrega, you have to be very careful. There are many people who try to do this, that from this fallen love, to try to take it and to serve Hashem. But then that's the avod of big people. And then you have other Jews that are not Bali Seichel, Shiroyim Zeh, and they see the tzaddikim, they see people that they are able to do this. You know, they're able to take that Shir Shim and make it Shir Shim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these people are not Bali Seichel, Shiroyim Zeh, Choshim, Shadavah Poshutu. Luma Kavacharim Zeh, and they think this is Davah Poshut. So there were many people that were even lechatchila engaging in all kinds of taivas, could lead to terrible things, thinking that that's a way to be ma'ira themselves. You know, so you know, whenever I had this conversation with somebody, you know, that smoking stuff or taking other stuff is a way to artificially get himself going. So I have people that are telling me that this is part of their avodas Hashem. So I'm never impressed with that. I mean, I'm an old-fashioned type of a guy. I don't care if they legalize it or they don't legalize it. So I try to figure out how to get close to Hashem without smoking something. So now they usually will say, but they say that they were tzaddikim. I said, you're not a tzaddik. And to be Isaac and these in Yonim, just try to figure out a better way to get close to Hashem instead of indulging in that pleasure. The reason you're doing that is not because of Kirvas Hashem. There's something now, somebody was telling me, I forgot what it's called. It's becoming very popular. There's a strange word for it.
Ayahuasca.
Huh? Say.
Ayahuasca.
Yeah. Somebody was telling me about this. There's a whole mahalach of, I don't know if it's smoking or it's,
vaping.
On how they do it. It's not vaping. On how they do it. But he was explaining to me, he was explaining to me how this has become like a huge thing, that it's like a whole cult, and there are many, many from people apparently that are Isaac in this method of there's something, some sort of I don't know if it's a narcotic, and it comes together with, like, there's a madrich that, and they go into a semi-like hypnotic state of some sort. I don't really know the pratim. He was telling me, I don't know exactly what it means. And it's becoming like a very, very, very popular thing. And apparently there are chevers of Jews that are being Isaac in these things as well, from people. I don't know what's happening. But is it possible that through these things there could be a to'elis, an advantage in finding a Pesach into, you know, from that into Ahavas Hashem? Of course, it's true. But at the same time, there are many, many disadvantages and terrible things that can come from being in that mahalach of artificially trying to release those kaiches. So, but this is you can see the people that are looking for a way to their emotions and are looking for a way to experience something, how it can be dangerous. The musician Magid says that Shir Shim is a gewaldige Pesach, but you have to, but only if you're a person that's also in the world of Kehelas and Mishlei. Mm-hmm. And if you're in that world of Kehelas and Mishlei, it means you're a big Baal Seichel, and you're somebody that has control over your taivas, then when there's a service of a taiva, it can be used in a very holy and proper way, in a beautiful way, taivas Hashem. But if you're stam about taiva, and you're not about seichel, you're in control. You're being controlled by your taivas. It says the Mizrach Magid said to watch out. It's not a way of avoiding. You have to control yourself. Kimudovik begashmius. If you're a person that's dovik begashmius, well, be taivas and makabel tanik behem lehi sinai. You're constantly indulging in taivas and. As bevada any idea klal me havas abayre. Then don't fool yourself. It's not a havas abayre. This is it's just pepper. It's not a havas abayre. Kiloi tamo klal. These people never tasted a havas asher. They can go their whole lives, you know, doing these things without having a tam of a havas Hashem at all. Because the way me tamru ikitay vasher, chasushom yipol. He says that Mr. Magid, a person can fall into a deep pit. We see a lot of this. If he doesn't guard himself, if he's not careful, he can fall into a very, very dark place and get totally lost in that empty, terrible empty space. The tzarech laharchik atzom mikol harchokis hanim sorim b'sifre Musa. And such a person has to distance himself from those taivas, according to all the things that it says in the Musa Sfar, to go far away from Gashmis, from that Indian in Gashmis, go far away from the taivas. Rak mishul mufshut megashmis. Only a person who has spent a great deal of time being mufshut megashmis, in other words, overcoming his taivas. Afilu hochi misayir believe lefam havara. Even such a person. That person who has fought courageously against taivas and every now and then has his service of a taiva, he is the candidate for this avodah. He is a person nowadays that could be Isaac in this avodah. Not stam about taiva. It's stam about taiva. But a person who is a big oved and he was working for years and years and years that the nefesh alakish should be the melech, should be the king. And that the taivas are taivas gashmius, and he sees them for what they are, and even then occasionally has an inyan of a taiva. That person already is in this parasha. The Magid is saying, but if a person stams about taivas, it's not pesach to anything kedusha. It's stam. He's just fooling himself. Because the spark that Nitzos hasn't had, in other words, the psolas, the filth, the dirt hasn't been peeled away yet. So, see, with the child, it's not a problem because the child doesn't have this inyan of ra. The child is just having a good time, is having fun. The child is not ra. But with an adult who's shakua and gashmius, so there hasn't been any hard work to remove the psolas, to take away the psolas from his life. So what's that? He's learning some chassidish Torah, and he's indulging in taivas with this machshava that this is a hechatim, so this is a pesach to ahavas abayre. He's delusional. So they could sit around the campfire smoking weed and talking about the Kedushas Levi. They should just go to work and pour some water on the campfire and go to work and just take care of their lives instead of sitting on the campfire with their eyes closed and strumming a guitar and saying, wow, we are so close to God. Bali Taiv.
Like we learned last week,
then a person like this who's been fighting against his taivas, mushrooming taivas, is working on his taivas, and has made a war against this world, and then somehow there's, not that he was looking for it, not that he wanted it, but a taiva. So that person already, he's in the sugya of the Kal V'Chaymer of how to use the taivas. So, in the second generation, the Mizrach Magid already put some restrictions on this, and he was calming this down. This is already by the Mizrach HaMagid. He was saying to be very, very careful with this Torah that we're learning. This is this Torah, the last one. Be very careful with this Mahalach. If you're not in the Milchama, then you're most likely fooling yourself. Unless you're a big fighter, you're fooling yourself with this stuff. This is a problem with many other areas in Avodas Hashem. For instance, you could have a person that, this is part of a much longer discussion, I'm just going to raise it now. You could have somebody that you can see how many, many people in our generation that they have a sugar with Rabbi Nachman, right? Rabbi Nachman took over, made a Mahama Pech. And that, of course, is Rabbi Nachman is Kodesh Kadosh. But there are many, many people that you will find in that world that are emotionally imbalanced. One has to be honest about it, and you see that there are many emotionally imbalanced people. And all they take out from Rabbi Nachman is the Hischaskas that they see, or from Rabbi Nosson. They don't see any of the other Torahs. The only Torahs they see from Rabbi Nachman, from Rabbi Nosson, are the ones that are saying, don't worry, God loves you. Everything is good. And they call that Hischaskas. That's not Hischaskas. That's a delusion. It's weed. That's why the tzaddikim said, you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful with Rabbi Nachman to learn with the Musar also, to learn other Svarim, because it's very easy to just take out this chas, because Rabbi Nachman wasn't just, it's not just those in Yanim, in Breslov, and Rabbi Nachman of Nosson, it's a whole world of Avaid, and you can make a likut of a tremendous likut of Tyrus and Rabbi Nachman that are not his chaskas, not openly. Just the opposite. They're very, very hard on people. Very strongly. The same thing you do with Kedushas Levi. So this, everybody loves the B'ditcha as long, because the B'ditcha, you feel the B'ditcha is always telling you, you're so good, you're so good. Don't worry about your affairs. Don't worry about your affairs. God loves you anyway. So people they take from Rabbi Nachman, from Rabbi Nosson, they try to pull out just the Hischaskas, and they're imbalanced people. It's not because it's a way of loving Hashem, it's a way of not hating themselves. And of course, Rabbi Nachman worked so hard in that Sugyan Rabbi Nosson to get us out of that darkness of hating ourselves. But when you have a person that's the whole Torah that they want from Rabbi Nachman, and they're not listening to Rabbi Nachman's Eitzes and Avodas Hashem, and in self-control, and in learning Torah and so on, all they like is the Hischaskas. All they like is Uman Rosh Hashanah, and some Nigunim, and some of these, the beautiful Torahs, and they walk Azamra, they know only Azamra, and they walk around with this, so there are all kinds of, unhealthy people that are Isaac in these things, and it's something which is very dangerous on many levels, because people who are not familiar with Chassidus, they see, of course, because the people are, unfortunately, many people are looking to criticize, so they'll see this from the outside, and they think that this is what Chassidus is, this is what Rabbi Nachman is, a bunch of guys who are mostly stoned, jumping up and down, na na na. Making silly things and carrying on and floating around, it's not in a way in Avodas Hashem, and people look at that and they see that, of course, because they don't see the positive. You have the Kehelis Chever look at always for the negative, and they see this, and it makes such a terrible name for the tzaddik, and it's bizyonis for the tzaddik, and it's not what the tzaddik is on Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman is unbelievably demanding. Demanding. When you see a real Breslover, a real Breslover, it's the biggest Bali Avoid in the world, the hardest working Jews in the world. But when you see a newfangled Breslover, 2 weeks old, and he's got all of his like Breslover stuff, he bought the kit, he ordered the kit, he's got like the books, and he's got already some trailers, and he's got a big yarmulke like that, and he's got the kit, so it's never the hard stuff, it's always the weed. It's always the joints, the weed, the drugs of Rabbi Nachman, to pull out from Rabbi Nachman into Mizyonis. Instead of working hard and making yourself into a mensch, go around dancing like Mishagoyim, like carrying on, which is a bizarre for a person, is bizarre for the tzad.
That's it's not taking the tithes and saying, I have these tithes, I'm channeling it to God.
So,
that's what the beginning of the class was talking about, it seems.
That's what the beginning of the class was talking about, and that's at the end of the class is toning that down. That's what we're learning from the Mezid Shemagi. You need to have both of these.
And Rabbi Nachman says, davening and learning.
That's the whole thing is davening and learning. You're not following David. What's happening here is that, of course, there's a way to channel, but if it's not with this hovering over you, what the Mizrach Magid is saying, it could lead to something which is purely delusional and unhealthy.
But there is the possibility to do it with the right control.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. It's just it's a path that one could be very, very, could fool himself very easily, and you have to be careful. He's not saying that the first part of what we're learning is not true. The Mizrach Magid is not arguing with his Rebbe. He's saying that you have to be very careful, because if you're not a Baal Seichel, you could be fooling yourself and it could bring you into worse taivas. That's why a lot of that chevra, they're using a lot in drugs and other things that come with the drugs. In other words, during the day they're dancing around Rabbi Nachman, and during the night it's not Rabbi Nachman. A lot of the chevra there.
You got to channel full time, not part time.
Yeah, and it has to be in a serious and a mature and real way that comes with lots of learning, lots of davening. All the things that I'm just using Rabbi Nachman is the most obvious. All the things that Rabbi Nachman was. Mm. If you see Rabbi Nachman's schedule for learning Torah, you didn't have any time to dance on a truck. The schedule that Rabbi Nachman gave for learning didn't give you time for touring around with loudspeakers. You know, then you'd have time to sit around the campfire. Rabbi Nachman's schedule for learning—it's hard to believe that for learning and davening, and he was talking to people who went to work. They weren't in Kailo. There was no Kailo back then.
Did he dance around sometimes?
No, what are you talking about?
No, I don't know him that well. You're saying he studied all day.
What do you mean, did he dance around sometimes?
He studied all day, the rabbi just said.
He also found time to dance. And we could also find time to dance. But there's
I don't know him that well. Forgive me, Jay.
It's not a matter of... It's okay. You don't have to know the history of Rabbi Nachman, but you're asking, did Tzaddik dance? Of course he danced. But he danced in a way where the dancing brought him closer to Hashem Baruch Hu, not where the dancing took him away from Hashem Baruch Hu. That's all. But it brought him closer to Hashem Baruch
Hu. Maybe he was in the Beis Midrash all day.
Wherever it was, it could be in the street too. The purpose of what I'm saying is not that you can't that the Rebbe of Zusha danced on a table someplace. It doesn't mean that it has to be Davke. You understand that it means that it has to be in a way with this where it's together with the avodah of Musar and Seichel and Yerushalayim, and it's what I'm trying to explain is that those people who are for different reasons just trying to find these nekudas of or of light. Sometimes you have to do that when you were very, very beaten as a kid or very beaten growing up, that you just have to take a lot of ischaskas and pull out a lot of that stuff from the tzaddikim, not just Rabbi Nachman, from other tzaddikim, in order to get back, you know, just to breathe again. But the tachlis is not the inyan of hischaskas. Hischaskas does not mean chizik. Hischaskas doesn't mean to ignore life. It doesn't mean to have fun all the time. It doesn't mean to be dancing all the time. That's not what chizik means. It's a very, very big mistake that people are making. They think, what's chizik? I say chizik means that you can't hear anything that you can't hear a word of Musa. When a person's healthy, then he has tremendous chizik for Musa also. You have to learn Musa to get chizik for Musa. Musa gives a person tremendous chizik. When a person is in a healthy place, and a person is not in a healthy place, so he has to be careful with this, with that, what's going to bring him to close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yisrael Yidei Zeh Bahavas HaBar Yoyzeh. Lohar Shagam, the next page. Lohar Shagam B'tzavos HaRivosh. He says that if you look carefully through the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, you will see not only the Mezuzah Magid, you'll see the Baal Shem Tov himself also. In many places in the Torah of the Baal Shem, he speaks about fighting against Gashmi, the Taibas, and being in the war. So one should not get the wrong impression that the Baal Shem Tov's whole mahalach was the singing of the prince and the girlfriend, or the singing of Rabbi Sadigon, that this is the whole avoid of the Baal Shem Tov. It's not. The Baal Shem Tov himself, in many places, is classic Musar, contending with the world and fighting against those things in Gashmis that are challenging you. And the Baal Shem Tov himself, in many places, is talking about that, as all the Svarim do. And the Kedushas Levi, there are places in the Kedushas Levi, again, they're not the ones that are going to be highlighted in yellow or put out, in a box or something. There are many places in the Kedushas Levi where the Kedushas Levi is fire and brimstone, mamish. The Kedushas Levi is very, very strong about the Rishoyim and about... Everybody thinks that the Kedushas Levi, every Russia is Gevaldik and everything in the world is happy and good, and from the Kedushas Levi was a fire, mamish, a fire. It's a fire. It's not one without the other. It has to be tempered one with the other. So we see that in many places in the Baal Shem Tov himself. And Bechal, the Chassidish Swarm. Look in the Yoshe Devayemis, the Chassidish Swarm. You see in the Bais HaMedrash, especially the Mezuzah Magid, that was very, very strong and hard. It's not some easy way out for people who don't want to work hard. Which there are many people that see that in Chassidus, the ones that don't learn it, and they just see from the outside. How come if he was really an Oved Hashem, he'd be sitting in yeshiva all day, and how come he's doing this and that? They don't learn Chassidus, and they just see people, and they look at these people that left yeshiva, and they get the wrong impression of what Chassidus is. Chassidus is not an easy way out. It doesn't mean it's easy. It's not an easy way out. Chassidus really is much, much harder. It's not an easy way out.
There's a lot of snagdos at the time, anyways, against the Baal Shem.
Yeah.
Why did they feel the need to qualify and taper it down so much, even though because there was so much opposition? It seemed like the Baal Shem Tov himself was pushing the other way.
He was pushing the other way because everything was so bent out of shape. You had to try, like the Rambam says, to. That's why the overwhelming majority of things that you'll see from Talmid Baal Shem is the first part of what we're learning. Because like it's brought down in the Svarim that the Baal Shem Tov's neshama came into the world, and the Rebbe Rashab brings down how the world was misalif mamish in a state of hishalfus. The world was the Jews were dying, they were dead, they were being beaten up for so many years by the goyim and lahavdil by the rabbanim, and they were dead. So the Baal Shem Tov tried to bring things back to the middle, and he bent it very much the other way. So it wasn't just a matter of the misnagdim. The Baal Shem was not in the spall in his time, wasn't such a strong as the second time was much more. It was among the Chassidim there were different, depending upon the different tzaddikim. There were groups that there was a misnagdis in Vilna, the Kaliska Chassidim, it's Kiyadua, that they were very, 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 very wild. And it was the wrong place to be that way. It was in Vilna, and it had a lot to do with the Cherem, and they were trying to find a way to bring the generation back to life without endangering the conventional learning and halacha. It was dangerous. It was dangerous. It's hard to figure it out now. It's not so, but it was very hard to figure it out back then. That things should stay balanced in a healthy way. That it should be with that passion and that ahava, but to get to shul on time and to to learn Gemara, to do what you have to do. It's still a challenge. Not like at the beginning, in those first generations, it was because Jews were coming back to life. Jews coming back to life. You know, when you see some guy walking around, some Hasidic guy walking around with his talis and tefillin now at 11:30 in the morning, it's not the first part of this Torah. It's just like, why don't you just get up and go to shul and, you know, learn the daf and something? What are you walking around 11:30 like that? You know, your talis and tefillin. What's the matter with you? There's a certain Yerusha that's not so appealing that came down from this whole way of life that it's very hard to pull back. You know, like you'll see at the forefront of like a Jewish gourmet, you'll see guys with payas. You know, you'll see like the sweet, you know, tuna bagels. They're like mamish, you know. When it comes to food, when it comes to gashmias, you know that when you go someplace with a chassidish thing, you can have good. You can enjoy yourself. It'll be gishmak. If you go to a misnagdish thing, if you get a piece of herring, it's already a chiddush. But by the chassidim, you don't have to worry. The gan's fine. So that's also it's a shirayim from this whole inyan. It's not to be an extreme this way or that way, to be in a healthy way. It's like everything in life. It's beautiful, but it's a tremendous, tremendous challenge. What is it that we have to do? What is it?
We had this question the other day when my son woke up late. Which would be better, to go to a little Hasidic minyan at 10 o'clock and maybe miss Zman Tefillah, or daven fast at a regular minyan? I started to say, well, there seems to be a sheet that it holds that it's okay to daven late. But he was like, I think I have to make Zman Tefillah is more important.
He's right. You make the Zman Tefillah, you know, instead of going to some place and say, you should go to Davim Zman. Okay.
And go very fast.
Yeah.
Maybe without Kavanah.
Yeah.